leave. To make matters worse, without having a solid understanding of the tools that are needed, many people find themselves tinkering with controls and plugin presets, hoping that they'll stumble on a magic setting that will instantly make their mixes sound better. Unfortunately, this never works out. This scatterbrained approach to mixing can be very harmful. It causes a lack of focus, confusion, and forces many engineers to constantly second-guess themselves throughout every step of the process. They'll listen to their mixes repeatedly, trying to make small improvements, but in actuality, losing more and more perspective with each listen. Ultimately, with an approach like this, the end result is a mix that takes forever to complete and never fully reaches its true sonic potential. Without having a clear plan of attack, how could you possibly know things like where to start, what you need to do next, whether you actually need to do any processing to the tracks, which frequencies you should boost or cut, how much progress you've made along the way, and when you're done? Wouldn't you rather feel confident every stage of the way knowing that you're taking the right steps and doing what's best for your particular song? The mixing mindset deals with the approach and way of thinking that mixing engineers must use when working on a project. It's a series of mental checklists and procedures that need to be considered in order to analyze tracks and properly process them to achieve great sounding records. The concepts listed in this book are designed to provide you with a solid workflow to follow in order to achieve great results with ease. By knowing exactly which questions to ask yourself throughout the process and having an understanding of the tools and sonic characteristics to be listening for, you will be confident in your work knowing that you are making the right decisions, while at the same time, maintaining your focus and purpose. Chapter 2: What Makes a Great Mix? Before we get into the technical process of mixing, it's very important that we first discuss our roles as mixing engineers. Why are we mixing in the first place? What are we trying to achieve? What are the important qualities that make a good mix? The obvious answer is that we want to make mixes that sound good, but everyone's definition of what sounds good could differ. For example, some would argue that the mixes from the 1960s sound amazing, while others might say that they sound horrendous compared to the sounds of modern productions. The important thing to realize is that it's not so much about the sound quality that makes a listener enjoy a song. It has way more to do with the emotional connection that they have to the song. Do they relate to the lyrics? Does it make them want to dance? Does it put them in a certain mood? These are the biggest factors that audiences react to when they listen to music. Our job as mixing engineers is to work with all of the individual tracks of a song and put them together in a way that allows this emotional connection to happen. We need to create clarity in the tracks for the listeners to hear the important elements that provide these emotional triggers, whether they be vocals, drums, bass, or even a cowbell. As long as you create a mix that achieves this, you have done your job. Now, don't get me wrong, sound quality is important. Audiences do expect a certain sonic quality that comes with modern productions. However, their enjoyment of a song will be much more influenced by whether they can understand the lyrics, rather than if the vocals were tracked through a Neve preamp or a Focusrite Sapphire. There's no need to get hung up on the gear that you're using. At the end of the day, no one will know but you what equipment was used. Sometimes as engineers, we get so focused on the finer details of a mix, and we get super critical of the tools that we're using. We agonize over whether we should use a certain plugin or piece of outboard gear. Often, the differences between various pieces of gear are marginal. You want to make sure that you don't lose your objectivity by spending hours and hours experimenting with things that are irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. If you find yourself in this sort of rabbit hole, you need to be careful because often it can cause you to undo all of your hard work. Instead, you want to make mix moves with confidence and speed so that you can keep focus on creating that emotional connection between the song and audience. Chapter 3: Mixing Tools. The process of mixing involves many tools that are designed to help you turn the sound that you hear in your head into the finished product that you can release to the world. Understanding these various tools will help you work smarter and faster, as well as help you to create clarity and space within your mixes. Before we dive into the specific needs for each instrument, it's important to first discuss these tools and their uses. Volume. Volume, by far, is the simplest tool to understand. We can control it by using faders. Simply put, up is louder, down is quieter. Ultimately, what matters is the balance of the levels. That's what has the most impact in our mixes. We want to avoid having instruments that are disproportionately loud and distracting, but at the same time, we can't have our key instruments too low in the mix. For example, if your vocals are too quiet, then people won't be able to understand the lyrics and